That's Brad Oakes, ladies and gentlemen. He's right here. Just picked him up from the side of Punt Road.
We're doing the pre-brief.
The pre-brief, well...
Or the brief.
You've done this before. You're the most regular guest.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, I have nothing else to do.
Yeah, well...
You're going same up here. Down in Long
Road? No, the Riggins go, okay. Go down Nepean. We're going to the McKinnon Hotel.
Right.
Which is a...
Macca.
The Macca, which is a suburban pub gig.
Man.
But, yeah, I've done it before. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't mind. Happy to go to the McKinnon Hotel. It's my first time.
Oh, it's your first time. I love you there.
My first time at the McKinnon. And, but yeah, that's, what would you say? It's between kind of south and east, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those weird sort of...
Inner outy southeast.
It's just one of those weird suburbs where it's like, where are we? Are we in Moorabbin or are we in Is it a little bit near? Bentley, maybe?
It is near Bentley. Do you think people who listen to the debrief go and look up on a map?
I don't think so. I remember last time I was on Tony Martin, I did with the McKinnon.
Clang.
And he did a routine about McKinnon because, of course, he walks the suburbs.
Yes, he walks.
And he had some joke about the McKinnon menswear shop. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, well, let's.
I've come here unprepared with my McKinnon gear.
So, well, I know how sorry you are, though. You've probably got something about it now.
Not really. Well, not really. It's a very classic, nondescript suburb, I have to say, McKinnon.
But knowing you, you'll have something about Tony Martin then.
Well, possibly.
Possibly.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, because you acclimatised very quickly. I was impressed at how quickly you got yourself a sleep apnea joke together.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's only because it's very prominent in my life.
It's been prominent in my life.
Yeah, well, years. Normally it takes me. Like, I was in a band. People go, oh, you must have good jokes about being in a band. I'm like, oh, there's nothing really funny. Well, it comes to mind about carrying equipment and supporting Mondo Rock and then having to load out their equipment while the roadies look over you.
Did you have to do that? Well, that's.
Yeah, you had to do the load in and the load out. So if you're a support band, and of course, these bands had professional roadies. Yeah. You know, it's just that we were uni students. Like, oh. And then everyone, and at the end of the gig, everyone, you know, the sax player, they'll just fuck off and it'd be left to me and my brother or... And the equipment was really hard, really heavy. I still reckon my neck hurts from when we supported maybe Boom Crash Opera and all the big names, man.
Well, we used to do that, like, we used to go see bands at Swinburne Uni, or Swinburne College, whatever it was called back then.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the students that my dad used to blame all the... when his car was vandalised because he worked at Swinburne TAFE. Oh, those bloody Swinburne tech kids.
Well, that's how we get in for free, is we just offer to help the roadies carry stuff in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was the king of grabbing one speaker and taking it in and then just going and hiding in the dunnies, you know? Really,
That's funny. That's what I did at Melbourne Uni when I went there for 1 year. I said to the activities officer, can I help set up the chairs and stuff? And he goes, yeah, and see the bands for free. So I saw some great bands. I saw the Go-Betweens. I saw OMD, Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark.
Oh, my God.
They were fantastic. Yeah. Gary Glitter.
Really?
Can't really talk about him. Oh, man, he had the fattest roadie you'd ever... Like, he was fat, and then his roadie walked out after a few songs holding a glass of water for Gary, and, oh, man, he was... He got a massive laugh. I don't think he was expecting it.
I even saw Los Trias Ring Barkers.
Oh, fantastic.
At Swinburne.
Uni.
Wow. And this is so many years ago. I'm not going to even say how many years ago.
Well, that would be the 80s.
Yeah, and I think it might have been the 70s even.
Wow.
But they
were great. They were very funny. Well, don't remember, they were a double A. They'd be like Lana Woodley.
Yeah, but they came out and they pelted the audience with stale buns.
Yes.
Stale rolls. And one of them hit me on the bridge of the nose, made my eyes water. So I just went up really close and threw it in his face. I was not very subtle.
No.
But, you know, he hurt me, Dave. He hurt me.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, they were dangerous performers. I saw one of those guys the other day. I saw... Stephen Kearney.
Yes.
Yeah, because Neil Gladwin, he joined Oz Circus Oz.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Oh, I used to love Los Trias Ring Barkers.
No, they were fantastic. That was the first off the walls thing I ever saw.
They were pretty... They were like our version of the young ones. They were pretty, you know...
Yeah.
They did a movie called Garbo, which didn't do anything, but I know, well, you know, that's what can you do? But that guy, Stephen Kearney, He's now like a film producer.
So that's like a hashtag for Australian movies, though, isn't it?
Right, didn't do very well.
Didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Hashtag didn't do very well. Hashtag no one went to see it. Yeah, hashtag.
I was in a few of those movies.
Cultural cringe.
Yeah. Hashtag someone spent 5 years of their life on this. No one saw it. That's oh, God. Mm. Oh, how's this? But on Sunday, because we filmed Takeaway, hashtag no one saw it. Hashtag spent 5 years of your life on it. A film that I wrote with Mark O'Toole, who's now he's a proper comedy writer on TV. Anyway,
he's a producer, isn't he?
Yeah, producer. Yeah. He does black comedy. He produces that show. Anyway, we wrote this film called Takeaway. Hashtag didn't do that well. But we filmed it in Alphington, which is not that far from where I live now. And we filmed it in these row of shops. And there was a butcher. And I was the butcher in the movie. I played the butcher. There were two fish and chip shops. That's the whole story. Stephen Curry had one fish and chip shop. Vince had the other. You don't have to see the movie after I've explained it. Vince had the other, so they competed against each other.
Vince
Klossema.
Klossema, yeah.
And
right.
And the guy, one of the Alphington locals, told me that when they saw the fish and chip shop being made up, they're like, oh, wow, we're getting a fish and chip shop. And then they said, then a second one, and they're like, oh, my God, we're getting two fish and chip shops. This is amazing. Anyway, Rose Byrne was in that movie, right? Which she often doesn't mention.
Yeah.
Because she's become a Hollywood superstar.
Yeah.
Anyway, the butcher shop was this old guy, what's his name, Louis. He's having a farewell this Sunday. They want me to go and speak at his farewell.
Well, good on you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can go, but anyway, I hope to go. But anyway, Louis tells me that Rose Byrne came in the other day with her boyfriend, husband.
Wow.
Which is like Hollywood, what's his name? That's he's great. He's in Boardwalk Empire. She came in and she's like, Louis, it's me, Rose, from Takeaway. And he's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember you. I'm like, oh, my God.
Did she say hashtag didn't need you?
Yeah,
hashtag nearly ruined my career.
Yeah, hashtag very famous. It's amazing that Rose Byrne bothered to go to Alphington to visit the butcher where we filmed.
Oh, no. Oh, God, how underwhelming for a husband.
Yeah, I know. what is this? Yeah. Where are we? He always plays mafia guys.
She would have said, wait till this guy sees me. He'll go through the roof.
I saw him. He's in Ant-Man. He plays the dad in Ant-Man. I saw him the other day in a movie. I'm like, that's Rose Byrne's husband.
I don't know who he is, mate.
I can't remember his name. I'll remember him.
Cipriani?
He was in Boardwalk Empire. Yeah, did you watch Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, but nah. But, you know, like...
He's fantastic.
Because I'm over 50, I don't have to remember anything. I'll just Google it.
Yeah, well, same here, but... I can't. I'm sure his name's. Oh, it's going to drive me crazy. By the end of the podcast, I'll have remembered his name. I'll just Google it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roseburn's not going to be at this gig.
No.
Guaranteed.
Well, you never know.
Dave, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Rose?
That's Dave. Yeah, and geez, won't Mark O'Toole be annoyed?
Yeah, he'll be very annoyed.
Was Mick Malloy in that movie?
No, Malloy's in Cracker Jack. Yeah. Hashtag did very well, Crackerjack. Yeah. That took like 11 million or something. So that was the one of the movies. They all came out sort of at the same time.
Yeah.
After the castle, there was The Nugget, which I was also in. And Hashtag did better than some. In fact, the guy who produced The Nugget just lives next to this petrol station. And he's had a fight with that petrol station. Hashtag ongoing fight. I'm loving the hashtag.
All right.
Johnny Carnival. Bobby Carnival. That's his name.
All right.
Rose Byrne's husband's Bobby Carnival.
And listen, anybody listening, he didn't Google that, too.
I didn't Google it because I'm driving.
No, that was just... Something shifted in his head.
Bobby Carnival. Anyway, look, we're going to this gig. Who knows what it's going to be like. I suspect it'll be good.
But, you know, you never know. We may come out of the gig and... First thing we'll say is hashtag didn't do too well.
Hashtag should have done better. It'll be like one of the Australian comedy films that I've been involved in. Hashtag thought it'd be better. Where are we going? I think we've got to go down here. Oh my God. We'll keep listening anyway.
Okay.
We're getting lost in the. There's JB Hi-Fi. Just we go. Oh yeah, down here. Oh, I'm getting flashbacks now.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't want a name drop again, but this is very close to where I filmed. I had to be. Have I ever told you this? I was a hand stand-in for Hale and Pace in a jam ad.
No, That sounds like a Painters and Dockers song.
In a laundromat around here, I had to. They were there.
No, it's a tiz. Sounds like a tism
song. Yeah. Oh, I was a hand model, hand stand in.
Oh, yeah, I was Hale and Pace. I was Hale and Pace's hand stand in.
Wow. Because they were there, and they're like, "Oh no, we got to go." So they got me to hold the jam. God, I've forgotten about that.
Is it on your CV?
It should be on my CV. Hale and Pace.
Wow, and that sketch, I bet that did well.
No, it wasn't a sketch, it was an ad. It was a jam.
It was an ad.
Ad for a Cotties jam.
Yeah, oh, I remember that ad.
They were in like a laundromat or something, I don't know.
I remember that ad. I
wonder if they still gig, those guys.
Still alive.
Hale and Pace, they are.
You've got quite delicate hands.
Yeah, I know. I have pianist hands, if someone described them as.
Hopefully we can edit that.
Edward Scissorhands.
I have stuttery hands. Pianist hands. Yeah, you do. I mean, you know, they're kind of...
They're a bit delicate.
Elegant, even.
Yeah, and they've never done a hard day's work in their life.
Yeah.
When you shake like a plasterer's hand.
That's not true. I distinctly remember you carrying Mondo Rocks...
Yeah, speakers. It's callback.
Hey.
We're good.
Hashtag callback.
I'm surprised David Rose, who's organised this, hadn't rung us. Where are you?
Yeah, right. It's right.
Hashtag
on.
Running late.
Hashtag running right on time. It's not going to start at 8, though.
Nah,
but, you know, it's... Do you know, I once was going to a gig with another
Bobby
comedian.
Bobby Carnival? Not Bobby Carnival.
Pommy Carnival.
Pommy Johnson.
Yeah, and... We're going to a gig in the country, like somewhere like Bright or Bonnie Doon or something like that.
Oh.
And his car broke down, and he was driving, and I was the MC. And this was like, I think this is when mobile phones first came in.
Oh yeah, early 90s.
Yeah, so there was no coverage anyway. So we're broken down in the middle of nowhere. I'm standing on the roof of his car, and he says, technically, I'm not late because I'm the headliner.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Infuriating.
Well, that's me. I'm the headliner, so you're the MC.
So it's happening all over again.
All right. Well, tune back in because we'll give you the whole rundown of the gig.
All right.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm all agog.
You are listening to The Debrief. Yeah, we'll be in touch. All right, we're back on the debrief.
We're
just leaving the McKinnon Hotel, and what a triumph.
I know. Hashtag what a triumph.
We're not going the way we came. We're just going to go here, I reckon. The phone sent us on a ridiculous path to McKinnon.
I think the phone's lonely.
I think, the phone just wants to... Yeah, no, yeah, just, exactly.
Yeah, why are we going?
I had a driver, I was gigging in Brisbane last night, and he was taking so long, and I thought, and he'd tell me how he's living by himself, I think he's just lonely.
Yeah, well...
He was stopping for everything.
I thought it was funny when you said, you asked it to clarify the route, and said, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
Hey!
Hashtag 2001.
2001, hashtag triumph. I got to say, they were a great audience there, and... You did a great job from the get-go.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I was the MC. That's in case, you know, people wondering what a great job is.
That's it. Yeah, you were doing the plumbing.
Mate, we got left up.
Even though your joke about I'm just here to see if this works is one of my favourite jokes when you hit the mic. I'm just here to...
I'm not even a comedian. Well, it's my coincidence joke is a bit of a favourite of mine.
Yeah, that is a good one. See, even in the old days, we would have stopped at either that McDonald's or that KFC, but now we're both eating healthy. We've got to go home. Empty stomached.
Yeah, I know. And oh god, that stuff smelt nice too.
Oh, I know, they put up some food.
Yeah. But anyway.
It was a good night, and there was other comics on. Rowan Ganju was very funny.
He was very funny. Yeah, and Zach Dyer was very funny.
Really funny. And Stubbsy dropped in.
Richard Stubbs was very funny.
We were all winners in the end.
Sorry, and we're just turning now into North Road. Now, you know, I told you, I dropped into this place here. It's called the Cyber Palace. It's a computer place to get my computer fixed, right? It's just sitting near the line.
You've travelled a long distance to get a computer fixed.
Well, yeah, but I had it. Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
So anyway, but then there was a poster of you with your face on it.
Oh, is that where it was?
In the window of a shop, an empty shop.
Near Ormond. These must be the Ormond shops.
Yeah, these are. Well, yeah, this is Ormond Station.
It looks quite nice.
Yes. Well, but
North Road, is this where the old St Kilda ground is? Is it St Kilda's ground?
Well, no, that's South Road.
That's South Road. Yeah.
And it's Moorabbin. It's back.
Sorry, Moorabbin, yeah. I knew we were near Moorabbin. I knew that. Ormond Angling Club, don't you?
I know. And, you know, there's an angling club, but we are about 8 kilometres from the water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was an angling club in Footscray, though, when I lived there.
Well, you must have a really long fishing rod.
Yeah, I suppose it's a Maribyrnong River.
Well, yeah, well, there's not even a river around here. Like,
no, anyway. There's nothing. God, there's a few creeks.
I hate it when my voice goes high.
When your voice goes high.
Oh, I mean, there's not even a river. You know, I mean, there's not even a river around here.
Not even a river. And you did some great new stuff, which I haven't heard about, your heart attack.
It's
gold.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, you know, it's just that I've had some time.
Had a little heart attack.
Well, you know, just...
A little heart attack. Well, isn't it funny? You talked about your heart attack. Stubbs, you talked about having a kidney stone.
Yeah.
And I talked about my snoring and sleep apnea.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just all talking about medical problems.
Well, that's it, you know.
None of the young guys talked about medical problems.
But none of us mentioned our erectile dysfunction.
No, which is quite a common theme of the night. So.
Well, yeah, it's...
behind closed doors, though.
Yeah, well,
behind
it's...
Behind closed doors.
Yeah, and... Yeah, it's... but, you know, I felt the demographic was... Yeah, way...
Middle-aged.
We'll get to what works and stuff.
Yeah. But how funny was it, the guys running it, James and David, who are young comics, they were asking, one of them was saying, what was he talking about? And I said, oh, he remembers seeing us on TV in the 90s. On Full Frontal on the Jermone show. Because we were both on the Jermone sketch show.
Yeah, and also I came and did that sketch with you on the Eric Banner show.
Oh, that's right, in the clothing shop.
In the clothing shop. I'm you in like 5 years.
That's right. Yeah. No, so the sketch that was I wrote that sketch.
Yeah.
So Eric comes in a high and mighty sort of shop and hangs shit on me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then what happens? I go. No! I go into the shop and he's the shop assistant.
Yeah.
And so I'm fat and I go to a high and mighty shop where fat people should be welcomed.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look at you, fatty. Oh, bloody hell, what have you been eating? And all this kind of stuff. And I said, I'm not really happy with the service. Can you get your manager? And then you walk out and I say,
who are you?
Oh, fucking look at you.
No, I walk out and you go, who are you? And I go, I'm you in 5 years, right? It was the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And you wrote it.
I butchered it, though.
But, you know, it's just, it was... It was the only thing I could do on Eric's show, and I was happy for it. But I knew when I got the call, I just went, because you know, it's the same as like, because I was a big guy, and you wanted somebody bigger than you.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
And the same thing happened when like I used to go for auditions for ads, and I'd turn up, and I'd walk in, and there'd be like a room full of fat guys.
Oh yeah, I know.
And I just go. Yeah. Oh, well, this is not my big break, is it?
Yeah. But I love it when you just turn to an ad audition and there'd be, like, small men and, like, you're like, oh, my God, they don't know what they're doing. They honestly don't know what they're doing.
Well, you know what? When I did an audition where I had to be... It was for a beer ad. It was a Carlton United Breweries ad.
Yeah.
And they said, we want a real Aussie. Greg Apps from Prototype said, they want a real Aussie, Brad. Can you turn up, be as Aussie as you can? So I borrowed a Dreiser bone. I know, I had a Dreiser bone.
John Farnham.
I borrowed a Macubra, I had some moleskins, and so I turned up, and I was unshaven and everything like that, and I was as Aussie bush as I can, you know. There's movement at the station because the word had got around. And anyway, I went in, and we were doing the audition in doubles, so I had to go on with this guy who had just graduated from the Victorian College of the Arts.
Oh.
So he was a real actor. And we go in there and we start doing the scene, and within about 30 seconds, the director goes, yeah, hang on, it's all right, stop. Yeah, listen, Brad, could you just wait outside for us, mate? And so they sent me out, and they said, wait outside, and they sent me out, and they get another guy in with the... the actor.
Yes.
Anyway, a couple of minutes later, the door opens, and the guy goes, Brad, could you help us out? And I said, yeah. And he said, could we borrow your Cooper and your Trisomone and put it on the other dick? God, I was angry.
That's so hurtful.
That is so hurtful.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, they...
I remember going for one, and they said, no, we want... And there was all big guys in the waiting room, and they said, we want like a Greek lord, like a fruit shop owner, fish and chip shop owner. And I said, what, like Con the Fruiterer? And they went, yeah, exactly, Con the Fruiterer. I said, well, why don't you get Con the Fruiterer? He goes, too expensive. So, and I said, well, I can't really do accents, you know, like, what do you get? A couple of days, you know. But I saw the ad, and they did use a... They used a guy, it was an Aussie guy who dressed up as an Italian, which they wouldn't do these days. No. This was the 90s.
Cultural appropriation.
Cultural appropriation, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that could have been me. It could have been, I could have been Brad, not the fruiterer, I could have been Brad the hardware guy or something.
Yeah. But yeah. I hang out for an ad like that would be great.
But I did that ad, I was for Jefferson Ford, where I was.
Yeah,
nun.
You're the nun, of course.
Nun, yeah.
I will climb every mountain,
ford every stream, follow your horizon until you find your dream.
And that was
Jefferson Ford. There's none better. That was the gag.
And it was a really cheap kind of ad, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so cheap, and people used like that followed me for years. So
because in those days there was only four TV stations.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't watch ABC. Yeah. And so it was on late night all the time, ad.
Oh, no. And so people would just go, I remember doing a gig once, and this guy in the audience goes, it's the nun. It's the Jefferson Ford nun. Right? Oh, I was so embarrassed.
I love it.
That's when I started working in the state where they didn't have the ad.
I did an ad with Alan Pentland. Remember, he was Ferret from Fast Forward. So if you remember...
Danger Mouse.
Yeah, but he's like a little guy, and he played opposite Magda's Sharpie character.
Yeah.
And he was Ferret, the little guy. That was his most famous role. And we did Lauren Hardy.
Yeah, right.
And I was, of course, Stan Oliver, the fat guy, and he was... he was Stan Lauren, I was Oliver Hardy. Yeah. For a butter ad.
Yeah.
And that's where they had the Devondale cow from the butter packet. It was in Richmond, so in the inner city of Melbourne. They had it in the car park, this cow. The cow was beautiful. It's like it's the one from the packet, the Devondale cow butter. But it was getting all agitated, and the guy goes, guys, you've got to move on the cow. We need the cow to... The cow's freaking out out there. We're basically bumped for the cow.
Do you reckon you got that because of your handwork for Hale and Pace?
Yeah, possibly.
You know, I went to do an ad for McDonald's when I was working for AA.
Oh, wow.
And I rock up to the city. We're doing a live cross.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a live ad. And I rock up, and when I get there, you know, and I'd really kind of moved heaven and earth because I had a gig. And so I rocked up... And then the producer, Kevin Blondie, goes, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here because I'm supposed to be doing the live cross. And he goes, yeah, no, that kind of changed. Didn't you get the message? And I went, no, I didn't get the message.
Yeah.
What message? And he goes, what? And I said, no, spell it out, Kevin.
Yeah.
And he goes, McDonald's didn't want a fat person in their ad.
Yeah.
And I've gone, who the fuck do they reckon eats this shit? I got paid for it, but I didn't do it.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, I wasn't. Yep.
Me and Hughie did
an ad sobbing.
For Popcorn Chicken, where we sat on the couch like we were living in the same house, and we talked about Popcorn Chicken, or Popcorn Fish, maybe, or some weird product. And we got paid a lot of money, and the ad was never shown because... The CEO of the company was South African, and he didn't understand the humour. He's like, this isn't funny. What's funny about this?
I don't know. That's well superior sense of humour.
Yes, I know.
Popcorn fish.
We had to eat. Of course, you eat it a little bit, and then you're like, I feel sick now.
Well,
good times, Brad.
A mate of mine was doing a KFC ad. And he's a vegetarian.
No.
And his mate realised that every time every time they did a take, Timmy wouldn't take a bite of the chicken.
Really?
So he dubbed on him to the director. And he goes, I don't think Tim's taking a big enough bite of that chicken. And they did about 18 takes, and it was 18 mouths full of chicken.
Oh.
I know, because they were mates.
Yeah, yeah, that's what mates do.
Yeah.
Back each other up. Ah, yes, good times.
Good times. And then, hashtag went well.
Went well, the gig went well. Oh, it was good fun. And we both are doing new stuff, so it's always good. We do a bit of new stuff.
Yes.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it's always new. Well, you know, it's...
Yes.
Or I might wear a new shirt.
Yeah, it's new to us. It's new to them. Don't change your jokes, change the audience. That's the old saying goes. All right, well, you're listening to The Debrief. We will return. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill.
And Glenn Robbins.
And we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google
something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. Just back on The Debrief, getting the directions off Brad. It's not so far from McKinnon to his house. And so I asked, you know, the questions. You've been on this podcast about five times, maybe?
I think it's five times.
I think you're the most regular. Nick Kappa was going well for a while, but I did gig with him the other night. But he's got a girlfriend now who comes and picks him up from gigs.
I know. Well, you know,
she'll get sick of that within 6 months.
Well, yeah.
That's not going to last.
And even if
the relationship is just not the picking up.
Even if I had a girlfriend, Dave, I would still not give up doing the debrief.
Exactly.
I love the debrief.
It's a very popular podcast.
I like working with you. And in fact, we're going to do that in the festival.
We should talk about it. We're doing the comedy festival together at the Grandview Hotel in Fairfield. So a lot of the podcasts I do are from it's the gig I run in a pub, which I can walk to from my house, basically. That's one of the reasons.
When was the last time you walked there?
Yeah, 2 years ago. I've got to start walking. I can ride my bike. Now I've started riding my bike again. I'll ride my bike there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right on the footpath.
Well, why not?
Yeah, I don't want to go on Heidelberg Road.
You're a senior.
Well,
you're getting up there.
I am. Yeah. Oh, this is the thing I was going to say. Oh, wait, have you seen Stan and Ollie? Have you seen the movie about Laurel and Hardy?
No, but is that you and Alan Pentland?
I was watching John C. Reilly, and who's a Steve Coogan, and I was thinking, could I have done the Oliver Clark role? Because I look, I do look like Oliver Clark when I dress up like him. But anyway, I don't think I could.
You have his smile too.
John C. Reilly was amazing. They're both amazing, but there was one bit. I'll put it this way: if you're an older comedian like us, we're middle-aged comedians. Maybe it's kind of depressing because it's about when they merge left. It's about. Yeah. They were massive in the 30s and 40s, and then they had a bit of a falling out, and then they went to England in the 50s to do a tour, of dodgy theatres and stuff, the classic, sad end of career tour.
Oh, yeah.
We've done many of them, but it hasn't been the end of our career. But anyway.
Many false endings.
And there's one point where their wives turn up. And to meet them, thinking they're on this glamorous tour. The tour does get better, which is the good news. I didn't know this. Spoiler alert. The tour actually ends up successful. But anyway, there's one point where Oliver, the fat guy's wife, goes, he can't do comedy anymore. He's 61. I'm like,
crikey.
I know. I'm thinking, fuck, I'm 53.
I know, but
give us a break.
Comedy. Yeah, but to be fair, like, you can't... We can't retire at 65.
No.
You know, I'm going to do a Tommy Cooper. I'll be doing comedy until
die on stage, literally.
Yeah, I will just, people will just go, well, he's starting to smell. I'm like, well, he's dead. He's dead, but he's still talking. I know, he's got a lot to say.
Tommy Cooper actually died on stage, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He died, and apparently it was on TV, and people at home were going, oh, he's just so good.
So funny, yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's kind of a good way to go. Like, look, we're talking about it still,
Exactly.
So we're doing the festival.
Oh, yeah, so the Grandview Hotel on the weekends, basically. So it's me, you, Des Dowling, and special guests. There's Celia Piccola's coming up.
All right, hero mates.
There's the Nelson Twins. There's plenty of people that I've yet to lock in.
Sweet.
But anyway, so it's a good night out because it's a dinner and show if you want a dinner and show. And you get to see four or five comedians, not just one person. So if someone's a bit shit like the host, me, don't worry, they'll be gone soon and someone else will be on.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So anyway, it's a good night.
Unlike those very expensive 45, 50-minute shows in the city.
So what went well tonight, Brad? You know the question.
Well,
you know the drill.
What I think went well was that there were a lot of people there and... the demograph was, well, it was our demograph,
yeah,
wasn't
demographic
it?
You know, right.
They,
do we turn left here?
Yes. And, you know, it was well set up. Plus, the support acts were very good.
Yeah, it was good. You know, it was a good night, yeah.
You know, there wasn't...
no one died.
Stubbs, like, between you, man, and Stubbs, it was almost 100 years worth of stand-up.
Yeah, experience.
You know, experience. But no, the other two guys were fabulous. So it was well run. It's a nice pub, you know, and...
we got free drinks, there was food.
Yeah, which we didn't eat.
I know.
If my personal trainer's listening, I did not...
No, you didn't eat. I didn't see you eat anything.
No, I didn't. I can't eat that food.
And what didn't go well?
I think it was a full moon.
Yeah.
And that's always Dutch.
Dodgy. You were given the task of promoting a lot of shows, though, because nearly everyone on had a pamphlet to give out for the comedy festival.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's... Well, I've reached that point, too, where because my eyesight's that bad without my glasses, that I have to... I have to try and memorize as much stuff as I can.
Oh, okay.
Like, which is an old, you know, it's an old illiteracy trick.
But it kind of
worked in it because I didn't have to publicise anything that was shit.
Yeah, right? True. They're all good.
That's the worst thing when you go back. Yeah. Somebody's just, you know, taking it up the jacksie and you got to go back and go, anyway, if you want to see more of that crap, get yourself down to Hummer, Hummer, Hummer. You know?
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way? Really? Actually, I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, it was just that thing. There was only one light. I would always prefer that there's two lights.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I was, you know, because sometimes one half of your face ends up in the dark. But the reaction from the audience was good, so that wasn't too bad.
And how can we do better next time? Pay us in cash.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if the tax office are listening, everything is declared these days.
Totally.
But it's less and less cash.
Well, I know. You know, because that's playing just straight into the bank's hands, isn't it? You know, they don't want to have cash.
No, they don't.
I mean, I understand, like, the money's going to move through people, but, you know, like, really, I'll be eating in a boiled rocks until that money comes through. But, no, it was good, and... I think, and probably it would have been smart if I took my DVDs to sell.
You could have sold some.
I reckon I would have sold some.
I reckon you would have. You were very good on the night.
No, you were very popular. Good too.
Oh, we were wonderful.
Hashtag nailed it.
Fucking Bobby Cannavale didn't turn up, which is disappointing. Nor did Rose Byrne. But anyway, they were there in spirit.
Yes.
Bobby, this is the guy who did, like, I didn't do any scenes with him, but I was in a movie once with him. Really, that fact.
And who's the other guy? Is that Mark O'Toole? No, that's the Jefferson Ford Nun.
Well, thanks for coming on. And you can follow Brad on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for listening to The Debrief. Thanks, Oaksy.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'll see you in Lilydale on Saturday night.
Oh, that's right. We're doing Lilydale together.
All right.
Good times. Hooray.